Now I'll read today's Bible passage. Today's passage is Mark chapter 13, verses 1 through 2. Once again, the book of Mark chapter 13, verses 1 through 2. As Jesus was leaving the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what massive stones, what magnificent buildings. Do you see all of these great buildings?" replied Jesus. "Not one stone here will be left on another. Every one will be thrown down." Please allow me to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we praise your name. We thank you for this opportunity to be gathered here with other brothers and sisters in Christ. In various places in Japan, there's been a lot of severe rain and a lot of flooding as well. It's been about twice as much as usual, and this is a very serious situation. And around the world as well, there's all different fires in Canada and Hawaii, and all kinds of different flooding, and all kinds of other problems as well. The people around the world are saying that this is the fault of humans, that this is happening, these environmental issues, but some people are saying the opposite. The truth, though, is that things are happening around the world, and people are quite anxious. In order to resolve this anxiety, people are trying to get all kinds of different information. However, there's nothing that can save us from the fear of death unless you have faith in Jesus Christ. And this is what Christians can share with others. This is the time to believe. This is the time of grace. And through the opportunity we have to hear another message today, we pray that we'll be able to do so. In Jesus' name, amen. Hello, everyone. We're going to be hearing a word from God from the passage that was read just a moment ago. Just a while ago on SNS, there was this really popular video that was shown. There was a person who had spent 35 years collecting pottery and had this amazing collection and had their own, made their own store to show it off. And there's TV channel came to follow up on it, and there was this accident because the sound monitor person used this long microphone and it got tangled in the air circulation propeller and the fan blades, and it started knocking down all the pottery in the store. And they tried to stop it, but then the propeller came down and then all of the other pottery fell as well. And so this is his facial expression of what happened. It was really a tragedy. However, please be relieved. It's part of a company, commercial, and actually this didn't happen. It's actually a mug company, and what they were trying to get across to the viewers, I'm not quite sure about it, but perhaps like our mugs are so cheap that even if they break, you can just buy another one, or something about like ours are better than the others and they won't break. Anyway, it was a commercial, so this actually didn't happen. However, we can learn something from this commercial. And what it is that regardless of what an effort we make to protect the things that we can see in our lives, they will eventually go away. In today's passage, we're looking at Jesus just before he's about to go to the cross. And in Jerusalem, we're hearing about Jesus prophesying about the fall of Jerusalem. And we're looking at the theme today of what is in the center of your heart with three main points. The first point today is the prophecy of the fall of Jerusalem. Last time, Jesus was in the temple, and he was focusing on a widow who put in a little bit of money, and then there was a disciple who afterward said in verse 1 in today's passage, as Jesus was leaving the temple, one of the disciples looked at him and said, "Look, teacher, what massive stones, what magnificent buildings." So what the disciples were looking at was the second temple. at that time. If you go back in history, the first temple was actually built by David's son, Solomon. And this temple was built in 957 BC. After that, the people of Israel were actually taken in captivity to Babylon, and that's when the first temple fell down due to Babylon. When the people who came back from captivity gathered there, they decided to rebuild the temple, and this was the second one that was built in 516 BC. And after that, as history progressed, just prior to when Jesus came on the stage, King Herod was trying to kill Jesus, and he was a very unfortunate person, but he was amazing when it came to construction work and architecture. And about 20 AD, he started to create this construction work of the temple, and he made this second temple in an amazing manner. This took place from about 20 AD to 64 AD. So this was still taking place even after King Herod died. So the disciples were referring to, in this passage, the second part of this construction for the second temple. If you look at history of Jewish people, there's Josephus who wrote about the Jewish war, and I'll read a bit from what he wrote. The temple was something that was just something so beautiful, people couldn't resist looking at it. It's because it had gold on it, and when the sun came up, it really just reflected the sunlight, and it looked like you were actually looking directly at the sun. It was so bright. And this temple that was not covered with gold in certain sections was covered by other amazing types of material, and it looked like snow in some areas. It was about 12 meters in length and about 2 meters high and a thickness of 1.8 meters with marble. So the temple at that time was actually something comparable to the Great Wall of China or other amazing structures at that time. So the disciples were quite impressed with it. If you go through Tokyo, and you can usually pick out people who are from the countryside because these countryside people are just sitting there looking straight up these super tall buildings. And that's true for myself. When I went to Kyoto as well, this was true. So you can think about the disciples in this time. They were lived out in the countryside, and then when they came to see this temple, it was something that was just really amazing to them. For the people at that time, this temple was something that they just figured would exist forever. However, to these disciples, Jesus prophesied something that was quite strange to them, because he said, "Not one stone here will be left on another. Everyone will be thrown down." This prophecy Jesus made actually came to pass 40 years later in 70 AD. Jerusalem was taken over by the Roman army. It was invaded first and then fell. The Roman soldiers, when they were about to leave, they took down and threw down all of the rocks and stones used to build the temple, because there was gold that was in between these stones, and so in order to get the gold out, they actually took down every single stone to get it. And in this way, no stone really was left, just as Jesus had prophesied. And it wasn't that the Roman soldiers knew what Jesus said and they were just doing what he had prophesied, but rather they were just selfishly wanting to get the gold out. And that's what happened as a result. As for ourselves, what is it that we can learn from this passage? What is it that we can benefit from? Let's look at the second and third points to find out. The second point today is, what will you be asked when you stand before God? So why is it in 70 AD when the temple was taken out by the Roman army that it led, that was caused by the disbelief of the people of Israel? Well, in those days, the people of Israel, and especially the main religious group, the Pharisees, were ones that were the main in control. After King Herod created the second temple, it was quite impressive. However, it's said that God's presence was never there. The Pharisees at that time were also in the same way kind of symbolic because they looked good on the outside, but there was no true faith inside. So the temple was just looked good on the outside, but had no God on the inside. And these Pharisees actually said that Jesus was not the Messiah. In the first verse today, it says, as Jesus was leaving the temple, and here you can see this was truly what Jesus was doing. He was leaving the place. He should have been the one in the temple, but because the people were not professing faith in him, he left it, and then it came to fall. As for us in the present day, the same thing can be said. Japanese people have various views of religion and different beliefs about it. Many Japanese people worship nature, and they feel that there's like some god in nature. For example, mountain gods or the sea god, and they pick specific objects. However, that type of religion is actually pointing to the true God, who is the creator God of those things. So it's actually a kind of a stepping stone to the true religion, but it isn't the true religion itself. But the modern Japanese people are actually even losing that because science is progressing and they're not really interested in spiritual things. People are becoming more of a focus, and God is becoming neglected in present day. And this is partly because of our sin nature, where we're tempted to focus on ourselves. In Japan, many people are atheist and they don't believe in God, and they just believe that they turn into nothing after they die. There's data that states this. If people don't believe in God and life after death, what kind of society will come to pass? There is an American writer who said the following thing. He said that looking over human history, there is a proof about what will happen. When people don't believe in God or stop believing in God and they just don't believe in a life after death, first, they start wanting their youth. And many people focus just on staying young. When people become older, they feel that they are not worth anything, and it leads them to try and leads them to focus on death. So companies spend a lot of money to prevent this anti-aging, and in this way they create products to hide people aging in their lives, or have cosmetic surgery as well. They focus on a well-portioned body and other things that are supposedly what is important in life. Because people don't focus on life after death, they just focus on living for the today. And in this way, this leads to a lot of fraud, which ruins people's life. People spend a lot of money, billions of dollars or yen, to connect to life support, but at the same time, they permit and recommend abortion. You can see in this way that people just, their life is not worth anything. When I read what this writer said, I really felt that, yes, it's true. This is what Japan is really focusing on or living for. when people forget about God and start going their own way, they lose these different morals, and the society morals also fall away. Today, there are many values that are new, in a sense, and many people who are headed toward death don't realize that that's where they're headed. For example, having sexual relations open to anyone, that's a common value today, but that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches only one and husband and wife, and that sexual relations are only to be between the husband and wife alone. However, that's not what the present day people are believing, and so there's a lot of sexual diseases going around and abortion that is taking place in light of that. If you watch the news, there's a lot of Japanese like high school students who become pregnant and then have to give birth in a public toilet to, and then leave their child because they don't know what to do. Also, as a result, many families are destroyed because of this broken morality that we are living in. Around the world as well, there is a desire to obtain wealth or material possessions, and that message is professed as being the point to life. And when I watch TV, even I can see that these commercials are trying to tell me that if I buy their product, then I'll be happy. And that's what's told to us on a daily basis. However, if we live with such values, many people realize or are realizing that they can't be satisfied with material possessions and even wealth. And if you do live with such values, you can see how your life will fall to one side or the other. Last year, I spoke with somebody who professed faith in Jesus Christ last year, and he said he was very excited that he was able to learn the true morals that God desires. And I really believe that what he said is just the truth. If you believe as Jesus Christ as your Savior and you stand strong on your faith, then we can have confidence in what we are doing and how we are living. We can be relieved from this despair and can have joy in our lives. When we are living life here on earth, we can realize we have been saved from death as we move forward in our lives. Also, believing in God and believing in Jesus allows us during our lives here on earth to be able to make a big difference in our life after death as well. There will come a day for everyone where we will stop living here on this earth and we will have to stand before God. And there will be something God will ask of us. And he will ask us, what did you think of Jesus? At that time, if people say that they don't believe Jesus is their Savior, then they will be headed for destruction because of their sin, and it will be eternal destruction. That's what the Bible teaches. However, at that time when we stand before God, if we profess that Jesus Christ is our Savior, we will be able to spend eternity with Jesus. And that is what the Bible promises. Looking at 1 Timothy 1:15, it says, "Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst," it says. Jesus Christ has already completed salvation, and he hands it out to us like a present. If we choose to receive this present, then we will have eternal life. Let's look at the final point today. It's the third point. What to set in the center of your heart. In today's passage, we've been looking at the temple in Jerusalem, and we can see how this relates to our physical body as well. At that time, it was very attractive to the people there. And we too have various gifts and talents and abilities that God has given us that can attract other people to us as well. The issue, though, is what we have set on the center of our heart. Some people put themselves on the center of their heart, and they use all of their abilities and talents just for their own sake. However, if you just use everything for yourself, you still will have to deal with life after death. There's an American who is focusing a lot on child rearing and the topic of marriage as well, by the name of James Dobson. When he was looking back over his life, he referred to one specific instance where he was actually, when he was in university, he was really focused on tennis at that time. And when he entered the school, he was able to see this amazing trophy in the entryway to the university. And it was a trophy for the top tennis player. He just had this goal in his life from that day that his name would be on that trophy one day. And he really spent a lot of time perfecting the game of tennis. And when he was a junior in college, he was able to get his name on that trophy. After many years had gone by, there was a friend who still worked at the university who called him, and he's like, "Hi, James. It's been a while. A while ago, I was cleaning up in the university, and there's the glass case that the trophies were in. I found your trophy. It was thrown in the garbage can, and I found it. So I thought, well, maybe this is worth something, and I figured I'd give it to you and send it to you." When he heard this, he really sensed something. He realized that when you're living your life, it doesn't matter what ability and talent you have at a certain time, those things too will go away. And what you really should be living your life for is that which is eternal. You should be living your life for God. And he really realized that through this experience. As for ourselves, we too have abilities and talents God has given us. And what exactly is it that he's given us? According to Matthew, there's the story of the parable of the talents, and it's a parable about how God gives 1, 5, and 2 talents to people, and then there's a different result of what they choose to do with them. It may not necessarily be a physical item, but it may be an ability or time or energy, wealth, power, influence, or something. And sometimes we are tempted to think it's a physical item, but it's not necessarily the case. God gives us different things, and how we decide to use them on our time here on earth is what God will be asking us about when we stand before him. It's likely that amongst you here today, you may think, "Oh, I don't have very many abilities that God has given me." But in this parable, the smallest amount that was given to anyone was 1 talent, and that is about 60 million yen in the present day currency. So that means that even somebody who's given little is actually given a lot. And to use that only for yourself is very pointless, because we need to be focused on what is important for eternity. We need to be living our lives for God and focusing on his glory when we decide how to live our lives. To be specific, this is how we work. We work for God. Or with our relationships, we profess Jesus, the fragrance of Christ through our relationships. And it's also responsibility to share the gospel with those who haven't heard it. And these things are very important to keep in mind. It's likely, I'm asking you today, who is on the throne of your heart? If it's Jesus Christ, then there may be some things you have to toss out because he'll be seated there. When a baby is born, that family has to do a lot of preparation in advance for the child. They have to get a crib ready and maybe move the dad's, collection of something or whatever that was in the family room out of it, or maybe put away whatever the mom's vase collection or something, because it would be dangerous if the child is walking around and it falls over. Or maybe they have to get rid of their own clothes so that they can make room for their child's clothes. In other words, they really have to focus their whole life now around this new child. In the same way, it can be said about our hearts. When we want to walk with Jesus as the center of our heart, then we may have to throw out some values that we shouldn't have anymore, or even memories and so on. We may need to rethink about how it is that we use our time, and that may change as well. When we invite Jesus into our heart, our abilities and talents can be used truly to express glory to God. And there will be a day when we stand before God after we finish our life here on earth. And we hope that He will be able to say, "You have been a good and faithful servant." I hope that He will say that about you. Please allow me to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to worship you today. Today we focused on what is the center of our hearts. Back in the day, the Israelites denied Jesus Christ as the Savior, and they were headed for destruction. Whether to believe in you or not to believe in you decides our eternal destination, and it is a huge decision. Jesus, we thank you for giving us this opportunity to have salvation and the opportunity to accept it as a present. We pray that as many people as possible will make the decision to accept you who haven't already. In the same way, we know that there are many different talents that you've given us, and that we just have to decide who is on the throne of our heart and as we live our lives. Let us, Lord, not make the decision to place ourselves on the throne of our hearts, but rather you, and allow us to use what you've given us for your glory. Allow us not to focus on that which we can see, but on the things that are eternal and maybe invisible. What we can see is just temporal, but what is eternal is eternal. In this coming week, Lord, we ask that you provide us with your presence and use us to further your kingdom. We thank you for this opportunity to worship you today, praying in the name of our Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen.